First Samuel chapter number 1. Let's find our places with verse number 4 this morning and begin reading out of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. If you found your place, would you say amen? Good. And when the time that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penaiah, his wife, and to her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. And therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And so Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as he continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my compliment and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramoth. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass that when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Let's pray, if you would please. Father, we want to thank you today for this great day that we can honor the mothers across our country. I thank you today, Father, for this passage that we have read that spoke of a godly woman. Father, how that she yearned to have a child to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of God. I pray for every mother that's sitting here and that's listening by means of internet today. And Father, I pray that we might have a godly generation of mothers, some old-fashioned moms that know what it is to get in touch with God, some old-fashioned mothers that's not ashamed to carry the Bible, speak about Jesus, and pray for their children. I pray this morning, God, that you'd do a work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, if there is one here that doesn't know thee as Savior, whether it be a man, woman, boy, a girl, a wife, or a husband, I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of Almighty God would deal with them, draw them unto yourself, give us power. Oh, God, we need a touch from heaven today. Touch these lips of clay. Give us exactly what we stand in need of. And we'll praise you, Lord, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. There's no way, my friend, of knowing the eternal lasting good of a godly mother as she contributes to her family and to the world. One of the greatest needs today in our country, again, is having some godly, consecrated, Bible-reading, God-fearing, praying mothers. Here in the book of 1 Samuel, we have an example of a godly woman. Ladies, may I say, I'm not here this morning to beat you up or make you feel bad. I just want to say to you, thank God for you today. I'm glad that you are in the house of the Lord. Thank God if you've got your family with you today. What a treasure beyond measure that is. Here in this passage, I find this lady by the name of Hannah. And I want to preach a little while on the blessed benefits of a Christian mother. I'm glad to tell you, my friend, as long as I knew from birth, I knew what it was to have a Christian mother. I'm glad to tell you, my friend, I'll brag on her just a little bit. The Bible said to give honor unto them which honor is due. I never had to worry about my mother running with the wrong crowd. I never smelled liquor on my mother's breath. She never held a cigarette in her hand. She never went to the ungodly places of the world. She was a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian mom. And I thank God for that today. I do believe that I'm the way that I am today because of a lot of the bringing up of my mother. Oh, listen, my friend. There were some times that I would break her heart. But I guarantee you one thing. She'd not go to bed until I came in the house that night. There'd be times, my friend, that she'd have to get the rod out and the switch. And sometimes her hand. See, amen right there. But I knew that mother loved her children. I'm glad to tell you today that when it came day, the day that she passed away, there was no doubt in my mind and my sister's mind where our mother is today. She's residing in the presence of God. What a wonderful, blessed experience that is, amen, to have a Christian mother. Now quickly this morning, before our time gets away, may I give you about four or five things about this lady by the name of Hannah. First of all, would you see with me please in verses 10 through verse 19, she had a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I believe this, my friend, that the justification by faith is through the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a personal relationship with Jesus. Ladies, may I say something, and men, may I say this morning, it doesn't matter how many times you come to an altar. Doesn't matter how much money you put in a plate. Doesn't matter how many times you go beneath the baptism of waters. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? I mean, friend, listen, some people can sign a card and some people can join the church, think they're good for eternity. Oh, but my friend, it takes a personal relationship with Jesus. Here this lady was, had a personal walk with God. Bible says in Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Ladies, can I say to you this morning, the most important thing in your life is not your career. The most important thing in your life is not your status. The most important thing in your life is not where your furniture came from. The most important thing in your life is knowing Jesus in the personal way. Oh, listen, beloved, you can go through this world, have a great career, make six-figure income, have the finest of the fineries, drive the most expensive cars. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, it's all going to be ashes one of these days. I'm reminded just recently of how often our lives are so fragile. And people today, they mount money up and mount treasures up. And all of a sudden when heartache comes and when disappointment comes and hard times come and when sickness comes, all of a sudden it's all wiped out. And my friend, can I tell you though, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. This lady here, not only she had a personal walk with God, but she had the joy of her salvation. Thank God for that, knowing that God controls every aspect of our life. He designs our life. He directs our path. There's nothing that happens to us by accident. There's an omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God in heaven that directs every step that I take. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Look at this lady's life. She was burdened because she had no children. Now, friend, can I say something here? Just because a lady is not able to bear children, as I said earlier, does not make her a second-class citizen. And there's within the heart, I believe, of every little girl that walks on the face of this earth, there's the desire to be a mother. I mean, listen, you take the just a small child, and what do they want to do? They want a little girl wants to hold her baby doll. She wants to have a crib. She wants to take that little baby doll and stick a bottle in his mouth. She has inborn in her that desire to be a mother. Amen? Oh, wow, we're getting weak now. Listen, hang on, we'll be done in a minute. I believe God created little girls and God created little boys. Amen? And God created little girls and put inside of them that desire to be a mother. But now here's something here. This woman here, notice something. She had a burden on her heart. Day in, day out, she went to the temple. The Bible says there she wept and she cried. And she said, oh God, my womb is shut up. Give me, please, a child. Give me a man child. They thought she was drunk. Here she was. Her lips were moving, but she wasn't saying anything. And they walked by her, and all the priest said, Eli said, hey, lady, how long are you going to stay drunk here? She said, I'm not drunk, but I'm talking to my Lord. I'm bearing my soul. I'm giving him my burdens. And friend, can I tell you, ladies, when the troubles of life come, when the heartaches of life come, when your child is sick and laying in the hospital somewhere, you best have a personal relationship with Jesus. You best learn how to pray before you get to the hospital. Amen. You must have that godliness and know that God is in control regardless of what happens, regardless of the situation, regardless if your child makes it or not. God is in control. Amen. Notice, second of all, the persuasion of her family. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11 here. And the Bible said, and Elkanah went to Ramoth to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Here's an interesting passage of Scripture. If we were to read that today, it might read different. It might read something like, and maybe Hannah would concentrate more on sports or concentrate more on athletic events. But instead, the Bible said that the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Anna wanted her son to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, preacher. Help me out, church. My friend, can I tell you something? I'm all for education. And I do like sports. I like to sit by and watch them. But friend, the best thing that a mother could do is to have her children in the house of God. You say, why is that, preacher? Because if they're in the house of God, they're more apt to receive Jesus as their Savior. Ball teams are good. And some people say, well, they pray before they throw that ball out. Yeah, but I've seen some of the most ungodly stuff at the ball game. I've seen parents get mad and almost have a fight at a ball game. Say amen. Friend, the best place you can have your child is in the house of God. Say amen. They're more apt to respect the church when they're in the house of God. And friend, they're more apt to run with other Christians when they're in the house of God. And this woman here, she had a persuasion. She took her son and had him in the house of the Lord when the doors were open. Third of all, notice there's a provision for the future. Here this lady was, Hannah. She didn't just think about the now and now. She thought about the here and after. The Bible said, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I want you to raise your hand on this one. I'm not being funny. How many of you want to live a long time? Well, bless God, if you didn't raise your hand, take them out. We'll shoot them right now. If you want to live a long time, here's what the Bible said. Honor thy father and thy mother. Brother Jimmy, when does that stop? Does that stop when you get to be 12 years old? Does that stop when you get to be 16? Stop to be 21 when folks can go out and do what they want to? No, sir. I believe from the day your birth to the day you die, I think you ought to honor your mama and your daddy. By the way, she's not an old lady. Some kids today, they talk about their mother and treat their mother with disdain and disrespect. My friend, if I had spoken to my mother like some of the kids do today, I'd be having a bag of teeth in my hand. Say amen. There's provision. This lady here, she thought about the future. Hannah was concerned how her son would turn out. And friend, may I say that the seeds that we plant today, they won't come up today. But the seeds we plant today, they'll come up in the future. And for generations to come, that the children might learn to reverence and respect their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. Number four, I see about this lady here, there's protection from the foes that would try to destroy her home. Hannah knew that there were forces out there that was trying to destroy her home, and she had to stand in the gap. I love you this morning. I want to say something bold and daring. So oftentimes parents, they're not the right example amongst their kids. And then they expect the preacher in the church to take up the slack. Oh, beloved, may I say that we need some parents today that'll stand in the gap, that'll make Jesus first. They'll know what it is to have a Christian home. They'll know what it is to have a Bible, not just laying on the coffee table, but something that's open. They'll know what it is to pray, not only just before their meals, but pray in the times of need, of necessity, in the times of the darkest hours of night. Would to God today we'd have some mothers and daddies that would raise up a standard and said, I'll stand in the gap. I'll make up the hedge. They can't do it themselves. I can do it, but I can do it for them. Our kids today, a large number of them are not bad kids. A large number of them just need direction. Amen? Brother Jimmy works with the Sheriff's Department. I'm sure he could echo that. I'm sure he's seen many a young person come through the judicial system. And they're not necessarily bad kids, but if they don't have the right direction, if they don't have a mama and a daddy that'll stand in the gap, make up that hedge, and say, listen, devil, you can't get to them unless you come through me. I'm going to be down on my knees. They may be out running around. They may not be in church, but I can be on my knees, and I can be praying, seeking God, and turn to the Lord in those times and be an example of the godly woman that we need today. Notice in verse number 15, chapter number 1, she poured out her soul before the Lord. I believe if you could hear her pray, I believe she'd agonize with God. It wasn't no lay me down to sleep prayer. It was no God bless this and God bless that. It was beseeching the throne of God, getting a hold of heaven. And she was crying out to the Lord. She poured her soul out in heaviness, in weariness. She poured her soul out and said, oh God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. We need some moms like that. But then notice quickly, there's the praise at the finish. Thank God my mother went to heaven in 2003. She was had born in 1922, and she was just about 81 years of age. Thank God for a long life. Amen. Hey, listen, the older I get,
I look at 70 and 80 as being young now. Amen. I used to think my daddy retired at age 59. That's how old I am right now. I can't fathom that. But there is a praise at the finish to see her family saved. I don't know that there is a Christian mother in this room, in this country, that would not want to see the family circle unbroken. There's not a Christian mother anywhere that would not want to say, my greatest desire is not new clothes, and it's not a new house, and it's not a new car. My greatest desire is to know that my children love Jesus and walk with Jesus. And one day when my body is put beneath the soil, that one day the circle will not be broken. I believe that every Christian mom wants to see her family saved. She wants to see the friends that she's helped along the way, and she wants to finish the race without regret. There's an old song. You may have heard the song title, Tell Mother I'll Be There, in answer to her prayer. Back in the days when William McKinley was president of our United States, his mother lived a great distance from him. This was back in the days of telegraph days, before telephones. Mrs. McKinley, Ma McKinley, was very proud of her son. She boasted that he would become a Methodist preacher one day. Little did she know that he'd go much further than being a Methodist preacher. Mother McKinley, though, fell ill in the winter of 1897. President William McKinley, she lived a great distance away from the Capitol, so he had a special telegraph built to go right directly to her home from Washington, D.C. And finally, one day, word came that she was about ready to slip out this life. President William McKinley telegraphed back to her and said, Tell Mother, I'll be there. A man by the name of Charles Alexander found that poem in a newspaper. And he cut it out and he went to a meeting one night in Kansas, and he was asked to sing a solo. This song had not, it was only a poem. And that night, Mr. Alexander got up and he sang, Tell Mother, I'll be there in answer to her prayer. For this, my darling mother, I'll be there. And the congregation that night was a bunch of rough railroad men. And that end of the service, they gave an invitation. A big, burly railroad worker walked forward, took the preacher by the hand, and he said, Preacher, I've heard many a messages, and they've never touched my heart. But that night, when that man sang that song about mother, I could not bear the fact that mom's on the other side, and I'm still down here lost without Jesus. And he gave his heart to Christ. I wonder how many of us tonight or today could say, when that time comes and mom passes on the other side and we have her celebration of life, how many could say, Tell mother, I'll be there. Just a matter of a few days. Amen. Just a matter of a little while. And then last of all, the pay that will be received. You know, my mother, I can remember some fond memories. My mother never worked in the mills or whatever. Her health did not permit that. She worked in a little old store, Joanne, and she made hot dogs. And I'd go up there and across from, it was Hugh Cobb's store in Reedsville, across from Roger Tate's. And we'd go up there and mom make a hot dog. She made the best chili you ever was around. Amen. Mom never worked much outside the home. Her health didn't permit it. When I was just a boy, mother came down with tuberculosis. And back in the 50s, what they did was they shipped those folks off. They couldn't be around other people. And so my mom was moved to Black Mountain, North Carolina. And I remember Daddy and I, just as a little fella, we getting that I called it, it was a Ford. Now don't y'all say nothing right now what I'm about to tell you. But glory to God, I had a nickname for that car. It was Black. Cover your ears there, James. It was called the Black Booger, that's what I called it. And Daddy and I, and my sisters, we'd go up to Black Mountain and visit with my mother. And then she was discharged and came back home. Mother never had really good health all the days of her life. And so she didn't have a whole lot as far as this world's goods. But one thing I can tell you, friend, there's a payday a-coming. I believe this. I believe every sinner that walks the aisle and trusts Jesus as their Savior under this old boy's preaching, I believe Mother will have a reward for that. I believe there will be a payday someday. I believe there will be a witness that lives on and on and on. I'll close with this poem. I'm not much of a poet. I ran across this in some old files the other day. I don't even know where it came from, but I thought it was good. Think about your mom. She could not paint, nor write, nor rhyme her footprints on the sands of time. As distinguished women do, just simple things of life she knew, like tucking little folks in bed or soothing someone's aching head. She was no singer, neither blessed with any special loveliness to win applause and passing fame. No headlines ever blazed her name. Oh, but she was a shining light to all her loved ones day and night. Her home, her kingdom, she's its queen. Her reign was faithful, honest, clean, impartial, loving, just to each, and everyone she sought to teach. Her name? Oh, of course, there's no other in all the world so sweet, just Mother. Aren't you glad for a good mother? Amen.